interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's one from Dayton, Ohio. A 12-year-old boy wanted to prove to his friends that a creepy old abandoned house in his neighborhood was not haunted, because everybody knows there is no such thing as ghosts. And so he voluntarily went in there all by himself, poking around. He found a closed closet, and when he pried the door open, he discovered a hanged, mummified corpse. At first, he thought it was fake, but then he touched it, and no, it was real. A 53-year-old man hanging from a belt. Of course, you can imagine the kid's horror as he blasted from there and ran home. His mother said, quote, when he first came across it, he thought it was a dummy or a mannequin that someone had put in there to scare him, but then my son touched it and could see that it was not fake, end quote. The coroner's office believes it's a suicide by hanging, but police are still investigating. The man bought the house in 2009 and reportedly died shortly after that, but nobody in the community knew, so overgrowth had taken over the home. Taxes had never been paid. Nobody ever saw anyone entering or leaving. It was in a bad state of repair. And so you can imagine now, the son's or the kid's mother says he is traumatized. That let that be a lesson to you if you decide to make that decision to go poking around in an old, creepy, haunted house. Apparently, because that closet had been wedged shut, it shielded his body just right, so the decomposition would be stunted and some of the animals and insects could not get to him. Well, we have all kinds of weird stories for you on tonight's program because, well, that's what we dig into on this program. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm also founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Sam the Animal Steele. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening to you, too, dear sir.
And, Sam, Before we got on the air, a little birdie told me that you used to live in a place that's well known for being haunted. Is that right?
Yeah, I had some friends that were pretty sketched out to go in there because it resembles interior-wise the Overlook Hotel from The Shining. It's the Kenilworth Inn over in Kenilworth, obviously. That's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. It used to be a hospital in World War I, World War II. It's got, think about how many deaths happened in there. And then not to mention some of the other weird things. There's a bowling alley in the basement, and there's purported two little girls that are down there. In the upstairs on the fourth floor, a doctor purportedly hung himself at one point, and he haunts the upper regions. So I would imagine it's a very highly, what would be the word in the... the parlance.
It's an active place.
Yes.
And of course, you know, that place was at one time called Appalachian Hall. Mm-hmm. And as you said, it was used to treat a lot of the soldiers and people oriented to World War II. But now I also have a friend. I haven't talked to him in years now, but a friend who was one of the very first people to move into an apartment there. And when he got his apartment, he called me and some of my buddies to come over one night, and we just sort of grabbed some flashlights and did some unauthorized snooping around because there was only a relatively small portion of the building that had been fully converted to apartments, and the rest of it was still in disarray and undergoing renovation. Of course, it was very creepy walking around there at night with a flashlight in these dark places. But one of the things I found so fascinating was that my friend – sure enough, began seeing a ghost in his apartment just a couple days after he moved in there. It was the ghost of a young man, and the young man was always crying. And so my friend started doing a lot of research, and he was able to determine that in his actual room there was indeed at least one suicide that had occurred. There was a man who was in his 20s who was locked up in that room and had committed suicide by bashing his head against the wall.
Oh, not the best way to go about it. But
Yeah. So that is a very, you know, creepy place. And honestly, I've been to a lot of different asylums and some that are, I mean, I don't think I've ever been to an active one, but places that have been converted to, you know, usually apartments. And I just get a bad feeling inside of them. I would not want to live in a place like that. I would be very uncomfortable. I think it would affect my dreams. So, and Shelley Wright, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, you sometimes reflect semi-fondly on your experiences living in an old haunted tuberculosis sanatorium, right?
Yeah, I do. I actually have mostly very good memories there. Didn't like the basement at all. But I felt very protected there. Things happened almost every day. And, of course, Demented Patty went up there with me one time a couple of years ago. I hadn't lived there in a long, long time. And it totally freaked her out. She come on, we got to leave. We got to leave now.
Sidebar, might we ask, how did Demented Patty get her nickname?
Her last name is Dement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was an easy one.
Yeah.
But she is demented. Don't be fooled. It's a perfect match in the harmonics of the universe.
Yeah, you'd love her.
Well, you know, when you encounter something that is that powerful, that spooky, that creepy, when you live in a place that's haunted, it can really open your mind up to the mere concept of spirituality and spiritual phenomena and other realms on a new level. And, of course, tonight is the last Speaking of Strange before July 4th, because the 4th of July is going to be this coming Friday. And so this time of year, I enjoy taking a moment to look at some of the strange and often eerie synchronicities, at very least you could say, that have led many people to believe the success of the United States is due to divine intervention. And at first that may seem like some crazed patriotism, but in reality, if you look back at the actual historic facts regarding the founders of this country, some of the events that took place during wartime, and how key figures and individuals have brushed with very harrowing circumstances and have almost miraculously slipped through, it does make you scratch your head and think, okay, maybe there is something to the idea that for thousands of years, when people envisioned a country that would herald freedom, that there was some type of a nudge from the spirit world, this new world that we live in. And by the way, if you're worried about the new world order, if you're one of these folks who has a conspiratorial mindset, let me tell you, we are living in the new world order. This is the new world order. And of course, I don't think there's any problem with having a new sense of order in a world that used to be so chaotic, but the price of keeping order in check is eternal vigilance. Point being that what we are going to do tonight during hour number two is dig into this, what I think you will find is a fascinating presentation I prepared that looks back at some of these key moments and key figures throughout the history of the United States, and shows you how that, sure enough, you can easily say there may have been some divine intervention that controlled the way this country would turn out.
Will this presentation be set to a John Philip Sousa march?
Well, you know what? Most people will expect that. But I have intentionally avoided using anything that's too predictable music-wise for hour number two.
You do like to go deep on your music cuts. You put a lot of thought into them. So maybe Matthew Sweet, Divine Intervention?
Well, actually, there's one cut that I think everybody will find kind of funny, actually, and that is when the Star-Spangled Banner was turned into our national anthem, based upon, of course, the lyrics of Francis Scott Key. There was some confusion over what the tune to the song should be. And so ultimately, the lyrics were matched up with an old English drinking song. And this was a song that was not just any old English drinking song, but this was a song that just about everybody knew the tune to, because if you were in a bar and it was suspected that you'd had too much to drink, then they would make you sing this song. And the lyrics were considered tricky. And so if you could make it through this song, then that was your sobriety test, and you could have another drink. And so everybody knows the tune to this song. Dun, 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 dun. But you've probably never heard the actual old Gaelic English drinking song. And so we are going to play that actual drinking song as one of our bumpers on hour number two tonight. So, hey, it's kind of a fun, unusual, dare I say, almost unique twist on digging into the 4th of July mentality and what it is to live in a country that we celebrate as an independent country. And when we come back, I've got some crazy animal stories for you. Yes, a story from Memphis, Tennessee, and a story from Anchorage, Alaska. That's not surprising, is it? We're going to go on a mental journey, a phantasmagoria of weirdness presented tonight as our little 4th of July gift to you. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company. Presented by Wright's Coin Shop, this is Speaking of Strange. of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the E.T. Highway. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. That is Investigator Shelley Wright's Coin Shop, and you can call them at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you will find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, as well as a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, links to cool stuff like the official Haunted Asheville ghost tours. I'm talking ghost tours, ghost hunts, pub crawls, all that stuff is at hauntedasheville.com, as well as links to our Facebook page, Twitter, etc. So be sure to visit speakingofstrange.com. And, you know, I'm always sending people to the websites for one reason or another. And, you know, Sam and Shelley, I've been thinking about starting a cult recently.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Off the cuff, who is your favorite cult leader?
Well, you know, I just watched this movie, The Source.
Okay.
Have you seen that documentary? And Father Yod seemed like he kind of knew what was going on. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to give you guys my pitch here for joining my new cult.
See if he can win us over.
Okay. And now, Shelley, are you interested in this, Shelley, possibly joining my cult?
I don't know. You give me your sales pitch, and I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, guys, there are six steps that I've narrowed it down to from my research that I think are the appropriate steps. Number one, just bear with me to the end here. Number one, you guys sell everything you have, completely liquidate it, and send every last penny to me. Okay, that's number one. Simple enough. Number two, I will fly you to my compound in the rainforest of Puerto Rico where you will be cared for. All right? Number three, each morning when you awaken, you will do as you were told. It will mainly consist of growing my crops, tending my livestock, constructing buildings, doing laundry, taking out trash, and running errands. Number four, I will gradually sleep with all the women, and eventually I'll select a number of them who will become my wives and bear my sacred offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, to reward you each day, I will provide you with a choice cocktail of fine drugs, my own special recipe that will allow you to slip the surly bonds of all daily strife and visit a special mystical realm I have discovered. Number six, and ultimately, throughout each week, there will be musical, mind-expanding festivities in which I will spread my wings and share with you the keys to living in eternal, enlightening bliss and spiritual nirvana.
Okay. Well, I was taking notes during that, so let me give you these short. Okay, one, no, two, maybe, three, morning, how about afternoon, four, you get the girls, what about me, five, okay, drugs are fine. And six, it sounds a little hippie-ish. So that's the short rundown.
You know, number three sounded a little too much like being married. So I'm going to have to say no on that one. You know, towards the end there, I don't know. I might have to tweak it a little bit, and then it might become my cult. You might have to join mine.
That would be number five, the tweaking it a little bit. That would be the cocktail of drugs.
That's exactly. Well, sorry, guys. This is not a democracy. This is my cult. And so if any of you are interested in joining, just go to joshuapwarren.com. And,
and if any of you are interested in joining my cult, go to joshuapwarren.com and let him know.
Yeah. I mean,
what's your cult, Shelley?
My cult? I'm still tweaking, but yeah. I think they'll like mine.
Mine is a time-proven, time-worn formula for success.
But you never offered.
This is how it's done.
It is how it's done, but you never offered, like, with Jim Jones, I think the best cult leader of all time. You know, at first he was a civic, you know, he was an activist. He was doing things. That's how he won people over. Like right now, you're just like, you will do my bidding and I'll give you a little bit of drugs.
Yeah.
Not even your leftovers. Like, come on.
And then there was the part about, I will sit you down and share my keys of life. And that just seems a lot like school.
More incentive. You got to have more incentive.
Yeah. Yeah. Add more stuff to it.
I'm already a civic leader. I've been doing that my whole life. That's why I have the cult. Possibility
but,
now. See?
But we're just saying that in order to have the best selection of cult members, maybe you should jazz it up a little.
And like Jonestown, they really thought they were going to Guyana to start a new community. They thought they were going to we're going to start our own place. And little then they got there and found out it was not as advertised. Yeah. And they kind of couldn't get away. So. I mean, and you did say you'd ship us to the jungles of Puerto Rico, which would effectively lock us in. That's a key component.
Well, you're right, Sam. The marketing could be improved a little bit. I should have, some very beautiful, misleading photographs of extremely exotic, enchanting, tropical destinations.
And women's? And Wormans?
Yeah. And then just dump your ass in the river.
And you know, I got to tell you, number one, get rid of all your worldly goods and send all the money. You know, between Sam and me, you're not going to get very much.
I like my toys, man.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why you have to give up all your rights in return. All right, well, we'll see how that goes. Moving on to other news. How about some animal stories? Who doesn't love a good old animal tale?
Oh.
Here is one from Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis zoo officials have banned a woman after saying she climbed over a barrier to the enclosure where lions are kept so that she could feed them Girl Scout cookies.
Thin Mints? Thin Mints?
Yeah. They say the woman's actions were reported by other zoo patrons who saw her jump the barrier, and they heard her singing Lion King Disney songs to the animals. They say after the barrier, only some little wire separates guests from lions. Amazingly, though, the woman was unharmed. She was quickly removed, and she will not be allowed back into the facility. No word on whether or not the lions actually enjoyed the cookies.
There was the purple box, whatever those coconutty ones are.
Oh, I like those.
Oh, those are good.
Those are good.
Yeah. I haven't had a Girl Scout cookie in a long time, but I did have a Girl Scout cookie shot the other day.
Hmm. That sounds good. But, you know, maybe you should make Girl Scout cookies part of your, you know, cult thing.
Really? Yeah. Well, I mean, that could be incentive. People do like them.
They really do.
Okay. Girl Scout cookies, then. You get them. We will have a slight sliver of our budget that is allotted for a mountain of Girl Scout cookies to be purchased every year.
Drugs and cookies.
Now we've covered all the bases. Yeah. Okay, here's another animal-oriented tale. This one is not surprisingly from Anchorage, Alaska, where you never know what kind of bears and other creatures you'll run into. And it says here they are having a problem right now with a black bear and two cubs that have been frequenting Midtown Anchorage, stealing lunch boxes at a children's day camp. It says the bears at Campfire USA are continuously wandering onto the soccer fields. And they've become very, very good at snatching kids' lunch boxes, pulling them off, opening them, and eating everything inside. But they say so far the bears have not been aggressive. They're just worried that obviously things could get out of hand, and so they're trying to tranquilize them and handle them appropriately. Sam, have you ever faced off with a bear in the wild?
No, up near my parents' house. They live near Reynolds High School. If you're not from this area, it'd be not too far out of Asheville, but right, it abuts to the parkway, and I was going up there not too long ago, and I was like, whoa, big old bear, and we had a dog, and it used to keep the bears at bay. She passed. Now they got, there's bears, and they're hungry, and they're coming down all over the place around here, you know?
Well, twice I have walked up on bears in the woods just hiking. Fortunately, both times the bears ran off, but one night I arrived at the station there, just right there where you are, with Shelley and Forrest and I think Kelly, and there was a sizable bear just right outside the parking lot. Yeah,
I never mean, seen was... a bear. I've seen turkeys, I've seen all sorts of critters, but never a bear.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, guess what? There is a new legitimate science story out saying that some time travel has finally been achieved. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you may call Miss Shelley Wright at 828-298-5402. We're going to talk to her a little bit later about what's happening with gold and silver. Last I heard, it was going up. Call them again, 828-298-5402. And speaking of things you should be doing, if you get online and you make it to joshuapwarren.com, be sure to watch the free video there at the top of the website, which explains what the wishing machine is, and you will see why that we have had an explosion of interest in these. We just sold two of them two days ago to a woman in Finland. They've sold to Egypt, to China, to Spain. These things are selling all over the world. It's absolutely incredible, and the feedback that we're getting is amazing. Soon we're going to have a new website up with testimonials from people around the world. And so for now, go to joshuapwarren.com and watch the video. There is a lot happening right now in the scientific world, and, you know, people ask me, how does the wishing machine work, a machine that can make your wishes come true? It sounds like the scam of the century. But if you start looking at what quantum physicists are telling us is possible, it's not so unbelievable at all. We know that you can have a profound effect on the universe and what we call reality with your thoughts, with your mere directed observation. And now we have just a flurry of stories that have come out over the past week or so that have some pretty amazing implications. How's this for a headline? Scientists have simulated time travel with photons. And so I saw simulated time travel, and I thought, what exactly does that mean? And it says, it looks like time travel is possible, at least for particles of light. Now, I'm going to read some of this to you, but I'm going to be honest with you. I do read a lot of technical journals. As a matter of fact, my team and I even made the cover of a science journal in 2004 called Electric Spacecraft for some of the work that we did reproducing ghostly natural plasmas in the lab on a miniature scale. So I read a lot of scientific papers, and this one, I read it two or three times, and I never quite got it. And I don't know if that's because I didn't get something or if it's just not quite in here. So we'll see. I'll read some particles, some pieces of bow particles, and then we'll see if this makes, you know, better sense if something clicks for you. Using a photon, physicists have managed to send quantum particles traveling through time. Studying the photon's behavior could help scientists understand some inexplicable aspects of modern physics. Okay. Goes on to say, quote, the question of time travel features at the interface between two of our most successful yet incompatible physical theories, Einstein's general relativity and quantum mechanics, end quote. That's according to the University of Queensland's science news release. It says, quote, Einstein's theory describes the world at the very large scale of stars and galaxies, while quantum mechanics is an excellent description of the world at the very small scale of atoms and molecules, end quote. Okay. So then it says time slows down or speeds up depending on how fast you move relative to another object. Einstein's theory suggests the possibility of traveling backwards in time by following a space-time path that returns to the starting point but at an earlier time. Okay, so that's called basically a wormhole. Now, in a quantum regime, the authors say, the paradox of time travel can be resolved, leaving closed time-like curves consistent with relativity. Near a black hole, for example, the extreme effects of general relativity play a role. And now I'm just going to read for you exactly what they've said here as the last paragraph. The properties of quantum particles are fuzzy or uncertain to start with, so this gives them enough wiggle room to avoid inconsistent time travel situations. Our study provides insights into where and how nature might behave differently from what our theories predict. These include the violation of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, cracking of quantum cryptography, and perfect cloning of quantum states. What was impossible yesterday is science now. So, I just read you the whole story, and I get what they're saying, but I still don't think they describe what they did. I mean, am I wrong here, Sam, Shelley?
They didn't describe what they did.
To me, I mean, when you're speaking of space-time, Josh, I mean, it's a deep topic. Some of that just didn't make sense to me. To be completely honest, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box.
Basically, I understand that there. It's almost like the story is saying, we did this.
Just
but
justice.
They're not saying, like, here is exactly what we did and how we did it.
Right.
I think that's what I was looking for.
Well, check this out. This is on the exact same tip of what you were just talking about. And like I said, this is going to be quoted mostly from theregister.co.uk. Not from my personal knowledge, but apparently scientists have found three supermassive black holes orbiting each other at the heart of a galaxy, and the trio could be rippling the very fabric of space and time. And apparently it's not terribly uncommon to find, you know, massive black holes that close to one another. But these are really close to one another, 455 light years away, which in the universal terms is just around the corner from the old Warren, the P. Warren household, you know, and they're whipping around. And it says what remains extraordinary is that these black holes, which are at the very extreme of Einstein's theory of general relativity, are orbiting one another at 300 times the speed of sound on Earth. And if these black holes were to merge, then you get gravitational waves in the universe rippling across space-time, which they emit as they get violently when they collide and merge with one another. And then that's when all the exciting stuff happens.
That's cool. It almost reminds me of picking up the bottom of a sheet on your bed and you know, sort of fluffing it up and down, how the waves would travel. If these black holes are just sort of zooming around each other and they are casting ripples, then that means that maybe one day you wake up and you live in a world where UFOs and Bigfoot exist, and the next day you wake up in a world where Bigfoot and UFOs don't exist because things are changing a little bit on the fringes, on the edges. It kind of reminds me of the dead celebrities phenomenon where one day you hear somebody is dead and you've seen the news report and you've in your mind this person is dead, and then a month later the person is alive again and you're like, what the heck? I saw the news report. That's a phenomenon. And it happened to me just recently. I don't want to say who it was because this person will – it'll probably get back to this person that I said this. The person's famous, but I kind of know the person.
I've talked to the person.
B. Arthur.
I don't know who it is, B. Arthur.
And Jack Palance was one of those guys. I remember one time, you know, I thought Jack Palance was dead. I saw the news story, and it turns out he was alive. But, you know, speaking of a flurry of stories, and that's a good example, Sam, here's another one. Japanese scientists say they've determined and proven the universe is a hologram. There are many points of view on the origin of the universe, et cetera, et cetera. Now Japanese researchers have presented evidence saying that it is nothing but a giant projection. A team of Japanese researchers say that it is a hologram, and they have based their math on a theoretical physicist named Juan Maldacena. And essentially they say that they merged a bunch of these different ideas about string theory and quantum physics together. And it says they looked at the energy of black holes and event horizons. And they say that the math is there. Obviously, it's another one of those stories where I'm not going to be able to explain this to you on the radio. I, for one thing, I'd have to understand it myself. But it says here, as a result, the calculations have all coincided, and they have now proven the universe could not exist unless it was an illusionistic holographic projection.
Well, then who's projecting it?
I was going to say the same thing.
You know? Didn't we talk about this last week with Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Well, maybe. I would say that we all are projecting it.
Oh,
but,
that's some
okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, another science story about the universe that I want to tell you about, and then we'll bring the tone down a little bit to layman's world, and we'll talk about new technology to still marijuana. How about that? I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange. In the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop, I am Joshua P. Warren, and next hour is going to be a special hour. You could think of this as our 4th of July edition, and that's because this is the last Speaking of Strange that will air before July 4th, 2014. And because of that, I have assembled a presentation of interesting historical facts for you next hour about the United States of America and divine intervention. And this is the sort of thing I have addressed in the past to some extent, but there are new things, more in-depth things, more I believe, insightful things that will really make you scratch your head and say, hmm, indeed, has there been some spiritual power behind the scenes helping the United States become the most powerful country in the world? So that will be after this coming break into hour number two. So I was talking, of course, some about these strange scientific mysteries before we took our last break. And let me just touch on this story. It fits right in. This is from LiveScience.com. Headline, Universe Shouldn't Even Be Here, according to Higgs Physics. They say modeling of conditions soon after the Big Bang suggests the universe should have collapsed just microseconds after its explosive birth. Let's see here. The study co-author, Robert Hogan, who is a doctoral candidate in physics at King's College in London, said, quote, during the early universe, we expected cosmic inflation. That's a rapid expansion of the universe right after the Big Bang. This expansion causes lots of stuff to shake around, and if we shake it too much, we could go into this new energy space, which could cause the universe to collapse, end quote. And so physicists have now drawn the conclusion from this model based upon the newly discovered Higgs boson particle, which, of course, supposedly explains how other particles get their mass, that faint traces of gravitational waves formed at the universe's origin should also inform their conclusion that they cannot stick with the old model of precisely how the universe expanded, because the Higgs boson has shown us that there was something else at play there, because otherwise we shouldn't be where we are right now if that's what happened at that time. Okay? And again, this reminds me of what I brought up on a previous show. It might have been last week or the week before, how that, you know, of all we know about the billions and trillions of bodies in space, what we actually can detect is only maybe 5% of what we know and believe is out there. So 95% of the universe is what we call dark matter or dark energy, which is defined by the very fact that we have no clue what it is. So we just, to be blunt, don't know what the heck is going on here in the universe as much as we try to pretend that we do. A scientist from the Royal Society Research Center. Now, this is a big deal. In London, the Royal Society, that's as prestigious as it gets when it comes to science. A scientist was ejected a few days ago from a classical music concert for trying to crowd surf. Yeah, it says he was so overcome during the music, he lurched from side to side and then launched into the crowd, whooping, trying to surf.
Whooping, you say?
That's what they wrote here.
Whooping.
It's a British story. Maybe it has a slightly different nuanced connotation in Britain. He was whooping and raising his hands. But also in the UK, you know, we can talk all day long about theoretical physics and travel and
all
where
day.
The world came from and where it's going. But let's get right down to the practical day-to-day application of science. Let's bring it down to what people are really doing with technology. This is a story about ganja gangsters who are taking advantage of drones to swoop in to illegal marijuana farms and initiate a hostile takeover of entire crops. They say these high-tech hooligans have gotten very good at flying sophisticated drones in armed with heat-seeking cameras, and they use that to track down the hydroponic lights. And from what I can tell here, it's not like that these drones are going down and literally picking up any of the marijuana and flying off with it. Instead, they're using them to go in and get intelligence. So they'll fly in and they will gather all the parameters regarding what the crop setup is like and when people are coming and going. And, you know, it's kind of like just scoping out somebody's house for a while before you break in.
So it's for a rip. It's not like the cops doing it. This is like somebody doing it to rip somebody off. Like,
these are bad guys doing it to bad guys.
Okay.
Yes. So that's why it's also underreported. It's like, you know, this is what Al Capone would be doing to the small-time thugs in his neighborhood. So, okay, let's take a break. When we come back, it will be time to talk about divine intervention and the United States of America. Got some fascinating stuff prepared for you. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.